This is Disney master artist Kevin John, and when I'm in my studio, I love listening to the Mickey Dudes podcast.
And now, from the Monsters, Inc. lab floor, it's the Mickey Dudes podcast. Here's your master of ceremonies, Wazowski.
Hello, humans, and welcome to another episode of the Mickey Dudes podcast. I'm your host, Dave Koch, joined tonight by our producer, Greg Nevis.
I regret nothing ever.
From across the pond, Stephen Maxwell.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Pat's not here tonight. And Jeff Williams.
Flash photography? I wouldn't. That alters a homing signal, and that's not good.
Sorry, Jeff. I almost called you Jeff Sweska for some reason.
That's a compliment.
Yes.
Is that from another mother?
Yes, it is. Rip Harambe. But that's another story for another time. All right, gentlemen, and before we get into our topic, let's do another Mickey Dudes poll.
As king of Sugar Rush, I hereby officially decree that it's time for a Mickey Dudes podcast poll.
Okay, guys, well, we're recording this episode in October. Halloween yet hasn't happened. It's about 2 weeks away, but the way our catalog goes and shows, we're always a little bit ahead of time, so it's safe to say that this show is going to come out sometime during the holiday season, be it the Disney holiday season in November or sometime in December. So I thought, let's do a holiday poll for tonight. So even though Halloween's coming soon, let's pretend it's Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
Are you sure you don't want to do a presidential poll?
Ooh. No, I'm kind of getting a little tired of that right now. You can just imagine what that debacle is going to lead us when this episode already comes out.
Oh.
All right, so let's think snow and candy canes and all that junk. And here's my question, fellas. You find yourself in Orlando for one day for some reason or another. Layover between a flight, whatever it can be, but you have no park tickets, but you have an entire night in Disney World. Do you go and enjoy the holiday happenings at Disney Springs, or do you use the time to resort hop and enjoy all the decorations at the various resorts? Greg, what would you do?
I'm definitely going to resort hop because we've never had the pleasure of getting to a lot of different resorts. So it would be so neat to go to the Grand Floridian and see all that. And some of these resorts that I've heard being spoke of around Christmas time, how they go all out. So, man, that's what I'm doing. I'm resort hopping.
Okay. What are you doing, Jeff?
Totally going to resort hop. That's our annual tradition so far anyway. So that's totally kind of the thing that we really enjoy going. Each resort have its own unique offering. So that's what we're doing.
Steven, what are you doing?
Yep, 3 for 3. I'd be going resort hopping as well. Just going to see all the big trees and the gingerbread houses and stuff like that. And just taking everything in and all the decorations within the other resorts. I think it'd be great.
I think for this one, I'm actually going to go against the grain. And I'm going to go to Disney Springs. Just for the fact that I have never experienced the holiday season at Disney Springs. And I hear that they do kind of put out a nice spread of between the music, a lot of different performers, and Santa's Little Village, and now they have a new walk-through Christmas tree display. I think I kind of want to experience that. Don't get me wrong, the resorts are absolutely beautiful. I would definitely make sure if you are planning a trip to the world during the holiday season, take a day off from the parks if you're able to, and do take some time and resort hop. Make sure that you get the free chestnuts at the Grand Floridian. I can't stand chestnuts personally, but Disney is giving something away for free, so there is absolutely no way that I'm not going to pass them up at that point.
Chet's what? Chet's?
Chestnuts.
Who's Chet? Oh.
Yeah, the New York accent, okay? Go get your chestnuts.
Hey, did you guys hear the latest? This might be a good opportunity to splurge on the little rumor about Disney Springs. I heard through Jim Hill that the numbers aren't doing so great, so they're actually exploring ideas like possibly even
something fabulous like Osborne Lights maybe in the next couple of years.
Mm.
So can you imagine Disney Springs with Osborne Lights?
I'll believe it when I see it. I think it would just might be a logistical nightmare. I'm sure they can pull it off if they really wanted to. I tend to think with something like that, though, they would probably end up doing some type of admission, maybe just sectioning off part of it. But I always wonder with that, because you have all that retail space. If you're putting in any type of admission at that point, are you blocking businesses that are paying rent from potential clients? So it's something, it's something that it'd be nice, but who knows? I'll believe it when I see it. And with that, gentlemen, thank you. And to all our listeners, happy holidays. Okay, gentlemen, tonight we are talking transportation through the Walt Disney World Resort. When I say transportation, it's okay to think out of the box here. Greg, would you please tell our listeners what transportation can be considered for this episode? Because I just got hit last minute with hosting the show because Pat had to bang out. So I'm a little unprepared at the moment.
All right. I'll jump in here, Dave. Looking back at my choices, I thought, wow, these are kind of interesting because both of my choices don't rely on gasoline. They don't rely on electricity. But what they do rely on is good old-fashioned horsepower. And if you take a carriage ride, either at Port Orleans, or you can jump over to Fort Wilderness on a carriage ride. And since we're talking about the holidays, a nice thing about this is if you go over to Fort Wilderness, you can get a nice Christmas ride. They decorate the carriage with all sorts of neat Christmas decorations, and you get a nice ride through the pine and cypress trees and really soak in the holiday theme. So that's what my first choice would be.
That is on my list. I have taken the carriages at Port Orleans. I took my niece one time after the Bippity Boppity Boutique. We had her in her Cinderella dress, so kind of wanted her to feel like Cinderella, so I cheated her to a little carriage ride. At Fort Wilderness, they kind of do something a little bit extra. Should we spoil the magic?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
They disguise the carriages to make them look as if you are riding in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey.
That just, I don't know, for some reason, that just jingles my bells.
All righty. Jingle bam.
It's something that I want to do. I haven't got around to doing it yet, but if you are going over to Fort Wilderness, definitely go and explore that during the Christmas time. Get a carriage ride. And then I'm going to throw a little curveball, and I'm going to cheat and add one more little mode of transportation. Rent a golf cart for the day and then drive around to all the campsites and check out all of the Christmas decorations that people put up. They do some spectacular spreads over there.
That's a great idea.
Excellent. Now, some of our modes of transportation don't necessarily have to take you from point A to point B. They can take you from point A around and back to point A again. Steven, will you share your preferred method of transportation in the Disney Resort?
Yeah, mine's the TTA, Tomorrowland Transit Authority, or the Wedway People Mover, as it used to be called. Great Omnimover within Tomorrowland and the Magic Kingdom. Starts off Tomorrowland, goes through Stitch's Great Escape, which is maybe just as well, goes straight through it. Then through Mickey Street, Star Traders, onto Tomorrowland Speedway, where you look down and all the cars and everybody driving through. Takes you into Space Mountain, and if you're maybe lucky enough in the Space Mountain bit, that the ride may be down and the lights are up, and you might actually see the whole track, which was looking at a couple of YouTube videos today, which you can actually see this the coaster in its entirety without it being blacked out. So you can buy there, go through past Arch Roberta into Carousel of Progress, and then through Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, where you see everybody shooting. Takes you back round, and it takes you back, as Dave was saying, back to point A. So it's point A to point A. I would suggest that this is one of the things that you do first in the park, especially if you're heading over Tomorrowland, because it gives you an idea of what is actually in that area of the park, and you then look to see where you want to go first and then head down there. This is, I just think it's a great ride, and there's never a queue to get on the TTA.
Paging Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stephen. This is brilliant. I don't remember where it came up on our ride poll, but man, it's a ride and a transport, isn't it? I mean, Walt wanted everybody to get an idea of what the area looks like before you merged into submersing yourself into each of all the rides. So this is kind of a futuristic version of the railroad, in my opinion.
To quote Mickey at Star Traders, that's right!
The commentary's great as well. I mean, it carries on right the way throughout, and it just describes that area of the park so well.
Another thing that I like about it is the last two times I was in the parks riding it, it happened to be days where I was wearing a Mickey Dudes t-shirt, and one of the cast members, as I was getting on, said, oh, is that a podcast? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm one of the guys on it. He's like, oh, well, I'm always looking for a good Disney podcast. I'll check you guys out. A couple months later, I was back in the parks, and he saw me wearing the shirt again. He's like, oh, it's the Mickey Dudes guy. I've been checking out your podcast and really enjoying it. So
awesome.
It's nice. One of those things that kind of just... it was the first place I was recognized from this podcast on, so it kind of brings a smile to my face. I always kind of look for that guy.
Beam at last.
We have one fan.
Yeah. I think we're on 14 minutes and 30 seconds of my 15 minutes of fame, though, so I'll happily fade back into existence and kind of just blend in. And with that, Jeff, what's your method?
You know what? I'm going to stay in Magic Kingdom, and I'm going to go over to Fort Wilderness area, and we're going to get on the Tom Sawyer rafts. So if you're familiar with it, Tom Sawyer Island is the dedicated island, totally secret hideaway dedicated to Mark Twain. These rafts are really cool. They're themed to being like old Mississippi rafts. Now, granted, these are powered with motors, but you still get the same effect. You all get on the raft, and they have the big giant oars to paddle you over, or pretend like they're paddling you over. But when you get over, you get out there to the Tom Sawyer Island, and it's like a tradition for us, and it's an escapism. You get out there, and you just explore away. To say that Tom Sawyer Island is just for kids is about as fickle as saying, you know, Walt Disney World's for kids, because we have the greatest time just having a blast, just getting away from everything and exploring it. And one thing I read today, I don't know, I never saw this before. I hope Tom Sawyer Island never goes away. Now, in Disneyland, they converted it over to, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean theme, which is fine. But there's just something special about the Tom Sawyer theme that I hope never disappears. But I didn't realize that Walt Disney himself designed the original Tom Sawyer Island that this was made off of for Disneyland. He just wasn't happy with the theming and took it home at night and scratched out all these different ideas. And that was the design they went with. There's you know, a fort, hidden caves. I mean, there's all kinds of things to explore. The only downside is there's no food or beverage offering. There used to be Aunt Polly's out there. That was really cool. But in essence, the rafts represent kind of an old-time transport and taking you away.
I am in complete agreement with you on this one. I have gone to Tom Sawyer Island with both children and just with adults. And if you really want to appreciate the details that Disney strives to bring to their guest, go over to Tom Sawyer Island. Kind of just pop into the caves. You know, you don't have to be the most limber to kind of crawl through them at this point. You know, maybe just stick your head in them. Just see how they do the lighting. You feel like you're just in the middle of somewhere in the wilderness. The fort is always fun. Go upstairs, kind of just look through the gun holes. Use the binoculars that they provide you. Go into Harper's Mill and kind of see the spinning wheel. If you're a fan of old Disney cartoons like the Silly Symphony series, there's a tribute to the old mill where if you look down really closely, you'll see the bird that almost gets crushed to death but kind of gets lucky because yeah. the wheel has a broken spoke at the spot where she's nesting. They have that bird inside the wheel. Most people don't notice that. And then if you're there in the afternoon around 3 o'clock when the parade comes, it's an excellent spot to watch Festival of Fantasy from. The Festival of Fantasy parade's floats are the largest that they've ever made, and you have a perfect sight line into Frontierland to watch the parade. This is actually a really good spot that I recommend to some friends that have children with autism. Because sometimes they can't take the crowds, and by getting to see the parade from here, they have a lot of private space. It's not as loud for them, and they get to enjoy it. They get to see almost everything. Granted, some of the walk-around characters you might not be able to see, but you can see a majority of them the way the sight lines come through. So I would definitely check this place out if you want a new experience watching a parade. Too bad you can't do it for the nighttime parades, because the island is always closed at that point.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to take mine, and I'm going to be a little bit more of the traditionalist. And I'm actually going to use a sanctioned piece of Disney transportation. And I want to talk about the boat ride from Magic Kingdom over to Fort Wilderness Campground. You get to see the beautiful Seven Seas Lagoon. You get these really nice close-ups if you want to take a picture of the Contemporary. You get to see the Grand Floridian in all its splendor. You get a nice look at the bungalows and the beach of the Polynesian. Then you get to go over one of my favorite things in Disney World, the water bridge. There's just something about going over a bridge and seeing a bus drive underneath you. It's just, you're not going to get that experience almost anywhere else. There are 5 water bridges in the United States, and Walt Disney World Resort has 3 of them. Don't ask me where the other 2 are. I have absolutely no idea. My understanding is there's a couple in Europe somewhere, but 5 of them are in the States. 2 of them are on stage in Disney, one of them being between the boardwalk and the International Gateway. You don't even know you're on a bridge. And the other one is backstage behind where they stage illuminations over at Epcot. And the one I'm talking about now. When you get there, you also get this, you kind of almost go from a hustling, bustling city that is the Magic Kingdom over to pure wilderness. On one side, you have Discovery Island. You get to see all the birds nesting. It completely disappears out of view, and you're just surrounded by nothing but trees and beautiful countryside and a beautiful lake. And vice versa, getting over there, you get the best of both worlds. Definitely a ride worth taking, even if you're not staying there. Go to the Hoop-Dee-Doo, go to Crockett's Tavern, go to Trail's End, but make reservations and definitely make sure you don't take a bus, make sure you take a boat over there. It's just pure magic riding that.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, one time we were actually fortunate enough to time it with Electrical Water Pageant was out and about. So that was pretty cool. That was just inadvertent. We didn't even mean to, but you get lucky.
You know, I've never experienced that. I never even thought to try to do that. That must be really magical.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Greg, back to you. What's your next mode of transportation?
I said earlier in this show that I was relying purely on horsepower. So for my second choice, yeah, I'm back at it. So we always love to hop on the trolley, the horse-drawn carriage. And it's neat because it's designed to look like the turn-of-the-century kind of trolley. And in the morning, you have the performers using that kind of as their almost like a stage that they hop on and off and do routines and everything. But after they're done with their show, then, hey, you can hop on and enjoy a nice ride up and down Main Street. And the last time we did it, man, it's always one of those things that we have to do because it's so relaxing and enjoyable. And it really makes you feel kind of special because you're on the trolley and, you know, you have people looking at you and stuff. And so it's almost exclusive in a way. So it's a real nice treat and just a nice 3-5 minute relaxation sort of thing. So it's something that we really enjoy. And an interesting fact about that is the carriage is pulled either by Belgian or Percheron horses. The really interesting thing about that is they are considered cool or cold-blooded breeds of horses. And you might think, oh, well, they are not hot-blooded. And for Florida, you would think that being cold-blooded horses, they wouldn't mind the heat as much. But it has nothing to do with how hot their blood is. Actually, it's more a measurement or indication of a horse's demeanor. So being a cold-blooded breed, these horses are more docile, and they're more of your workhorse type, your draft horse. They're very big and muscular and strong. So they are a good breed for being around a lot of people, loud noises. That's the difference between a hot-blooded breed and a cold or cool-blooded breed. So it's just something that we always have to do. And I'd recommend taking a couple minutes out of your day to hop on and enjoy the short ride. It doesn't take it very far, but it sure is fun.
If you want to see the passion in a Disney cast member, just ask one of these trolley operators about their horse. They light up talking about the horse. They are so proud that their horse finally made it to Main Street. They'll tell you about his or her personality, how long they took to train, how long they've been in service at the Magic Kingdom. They take their horses with a lot of pride.
Yeah, they do. And they, no pun intended, horse people are a different breed. They are very passionate about their animals. They love their horses. And, you know, if a true horse person, there's a connection with the animal like I've never seen before. So, yeah, that's a great point, Dave.
You've inspired me, Greg. It's on our bucket list to do the Disney World one. We've done the Disneyland one numerous times. And I asked the Disneyland people, and they basically enlightened me. Why? Because the Disney World trolley window of operation is much smaller than the Disneyland one. There's just so much stuff that going on down Main Street, and then by the time we get back up to the front of the park, it's over.
It's done for the day. Yeah,
it's just one of those. Yeah, and so I just need to make time to do it.
Yeah, because I know they shut it down before parades, and of course they don't run the trolley at night, so yeah, you've got to get in there as early as the entertainment shows are over in the mornings.
I wonder when they actually cut it off. I'm sure it's a logistical thing, so I guess it would have to be when the park reaches a certain amount of attendance, because it's probably just not enough room to maneuver on Main Street with everybody kind of walking through, but I wonder what that magic number is.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, but yeah, it does create quite a lot of congestion when you have a lot of people on Main Street and then you're trying to get the trolley up and down. So yeah,
see, I love the whole trolley idea and the Main Street vehicles. I'm all for abolishing those corny trolley shows and just making the trolley just go back and forth shuttling guests who want to ride it at that point and not wasting valuable time doing the trolley show. So, of course, now knowing you guys, they'll start a hashtag of Dave loves the trolley show or something like that, because you know how I feel about the hoedown.
Already on it, Dave. Already on it.
I must admit, it's one of the things I would like to do, but when you come through the park first thing in the morning, it is usually packed out, you know, when folk are getting up, and I'm not willing to wait. You know, yeah. I'd rather get in there, up Main Street and into the park as soon as possible. And I know it's my own fault for not, you know, waiting to get it done. But again, there's that many different things to be doing in the parks that it is one of the things that I'll go back and do.
Mm-hmm.
But also, not forget with you, you are coming from over the pond, so you don't have as many trips as us usually, so you kind of have this huge list of things to get done. Even though you're here for about 2 weeks when you do it, you're probably making the race for space.
Aye, it's sacrificing one thing for another, and unfortunately the trolley ride is one of them.
Mm-hmm. What's your next one, Stephen?
Yeah, my second one's the buses. I know a lot of people don't like the buses in relation to the transportation around Disney World, but when you put it logistically, it is the third biggest bus fleet in Florida, just behind Miami and Jacksonville. There's 300 buses that is in Disney World, and I think logistically to take all the guests from the resorts to all the parks, down to Disney Springs, down to the TT or the TTC, the Ticket Transport Center, and the water parks. I just think it is fantastic the way that they do this. I mean, they run about 6:30 in the morning until usually about an hour after The park closes, and sometimes if it's extra magic hours, it can be like 4 o'clock. So it's not that long before they're finishing, before they're actually starting again. The only thing that I would really say about the buses that I didn't particularly like is the fact that if you're at a park, you can't go from one park to another. You have to either go back to the TTC or to Disney Springs or to another resort to pick up a bus to go to one of the other parks. But the fact that they run 20 minutes apart, you're never really that far away from getting a bus to wherever you want, whatever park, whatever area of Disney World you would like. The only coming back out of the parks, I mean, obviously everybody's extra, especially like at Epcot, Magic Kingdom after the fireworks and that, is a mad dash for the buses. But they're there and you're getting transported away. I mean, as soon as one's full, the next one's there for people to go on. And I just think that even that late at night, when you're absolutely done in and tired and you've been on your feet all day, you get on the bus and you let them take the strain. And says, we've done that the last couple of times we've been there, and we've not hired a car and relied on the Disney Transport, and the buses have been an absolute godsend. And you're going from Port Orleans Riverside, which is not that far away from the parks anyway, but you're there in no time. You just feel as if in the morning when you get on that you're that excited to get there that you're on the bus and all of a sudden you're off. But at night, even with it being so dark and everybody being packed on the bus, you're there as soon as you get on. It really is so quick. And I love the buses, and I don't care what anybody else says in relation to not liking it or not having the time, you know, and people are getting stranded places. No, don't agree. Just think they're great.
Now, Stephen, I'm not sure when the last time you were able to get down there was, but I think they have changed that since. You can actually take a bus from one park to another now.
All right.
It's that you can't take a... I don't think you can take a bus to Disney Springs from the parks. I think that might have been something that was recently changed too, but you can't go from resort to resort on buses.
Right.
Unless it's on that loop that you're stopping at.
Yeah, because it used to be that you used to have to go back to either a resort or the TTC to pick up another bus to go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's changed now. You can actually pick up one from the other buses. What it used to be was if you were at the Magic Kingdom, you had to go to the TTC to get a bus to the other parks, whereas you would just go to the bus ports outside of the kingdom to go to the hotels. Now, since I think the last time I was there, I noticed that on the list they have a port to go over to Epcot, one to go over to the other parks and water parks too. The thing that just I can't really deal with the buses is the piercing sound of the beep it makes when they put down the ramp for the handicapped patrons. Yeah. It's just... I wish they can come up with another sound. I understand it's to basically warn people that there's a potential hazard because the bus is going to get a little bit lower. There's going to be a foreign object coming out and in people's ways. It's a little bit heavy. It could cause an injury. So I understand... But I just wish that they could maybe do something a little bit more pleasant, maybe play When You Wish Upon a Star or something like that instead of this loud, piercing beep. Because when you're standing in the heat and then you're kind of just tired at that point and then you hear that piercing beep, I have walked onto a bus and without a headache, I heard that and it just triggered a migraine for me beforehand and I was useless the rest of the day in the parks.
A big shake out of the way.
And the other thing is they don't do the music anymore on the buses. It used to be you would get over to the Magic Kingdom and you would hear da-da-da, da-da-da. And I used to have this huge smile on my face as we would be pulling into Epcot and all of a sudden they would start playing the music from the Imagination Pavilion, Figment's song. And they cut it out at... Animal Kingdom, they no longer play the African song that was played during Kilimanjaro Safaris, which was actually completely cut out of the ride recently, too, on Joe Rohde's orders. But it's kind of a hit or miss. Most of the time, they don't play it anymore, and that was part of the fun of the buses for me.
That's a shame, because I mean, even when you're coming home, you know, it does tell, when you're getting into your resort, it does say you're now reaching Port Orleans Riverside, welcome home. And you just feel as if, yeah, I'm home.
They still have the announcements, and they still theme the music to the resort, because they'll play top 40 hits from all the decades on the way over to Pop Century. If you go into Old Key West, it's all Jimmy Buffett music. So as the parrot head that I am, I've gotten on the bus to go to Olivia's Cafe and just made sure I rode the bus instead of taking an Uber or anything, just because I wanted to hear me some Buffett.
Yeah, it's hit and miss, Dave. I think I hear what you're saying, approaching the resorts, I mean the parks. And I think that must be a training thing, or they don't know where they're going until the last minute. So maybe there's something to be said about that. But yeah, they did start doing the buses from the parks to Disney Springs. But like we found out just literally a couple weeks ago, it doesn't go the other direction. So when you get to Disney Springs, you are stuck. You have to go to a resort and then to a park at that point, or Uber.
I wasn't aware of that.
But, nice. Yeah.
Good to know.
But anyway, you know, we've had some great times with the buses, and we've had some bad times with the buses. But overall, like Stephen said, it's just a cool amenity that it's really nice to park your car and not worry about it.
All right. Before I go over to Jeff, I'm going to give my last one. And this one is kind of in line with Stephen, so that's why I kind of jumped the gun. And I'm going to say one way on Disney's Magical Express.
Yes.
I only take Magical Express from the airport over to the hotel. I do not do what has come to be known as Tragical Express. I don't like the 4-hour window that I have to get on the bus to get over to the airport. I only did it once, yes. And that was because I was going to the airport and flying over to Disneyland for D23, and then I was going to be hopping on a Disney cruise, so I really had no problem jumping from Disney World to Disneyland. But any other time, I kind of rather drop the money and spend the $26 for an Uber over to the airport from either the Beach Club or the Contemporary, because I'll usually just spend the day in the Magic Kingdom or in the World Showcase. But on the way over to the resort, there's nothing that says welcome home like Magical Express. You go down this long escalator, and you know when you're on that level, when you make that right turn, you're gonna see a picture of Mickey Mouse in his bus gear. And you look over to the far right and you see the cast members welcoming you onto Magical Express. You tap your little magic band. They say, welcome home, Dave. And then you get on your line, and next thing you know, you're on your bus. You're watching all the Disney Parks blog videos that come out. Last time I was on there, actually, I noticed that my buddy and listener Chris Bean was on one of those little interludes talking about the Maleficent Dragon. And when they're done and they've given their little spiel about Magical Express, you get to see some classic Disney cartoons. Only thing is, you kind of get into the cartoons, and next thing you know, you're at your resort and you actually can't finish them. But nothing like a welcome home on Disney's Magical Express.
Amen.
Yeah, definitely.
And Jeffrey, where are you going?
Okay, so I don't know if you guys have ever been to Blizzard Beach, but Blizzard Beach has a very unique transportation option to get up to the top of Mount Gushmore, and that's their chairlift. It's very much like a ski chairlift. It's got faux skis that pop up. It's just a cool experience. Now, it's two things. It actually is like a dedicated ride, so you are taking a dedicated ride out, and it's an open ride to the top of Mount Gushmore, but it is a transport. I tell you, it's a seriously needed transport, because it's a 12-story climb of stairs if you don't otherwise, and I've done it many times. But it is very unique. It looks just like a throwback, a ski lift. And once you get to the top, there's, you know, you roll off of it just like the old-fashioned ski lifts, and you better get off quick, because they're not stopping. There's three attractions on top: Summit Plummet, the Slush Gusher, and Team Boat Springs. That's the six guest inner tube. But coming down, obviously, is much faster than going up. But It's so popular that it definitely gets a queue built up towards the afternoon, so you got to be careful with that, standing in hot pavement while you're waiting in line for this. But it is a welcomed aversion to climbing 12 flights of stairs after a long day in the water park.
And if you can deal with the pavement, the other thing that's probably the most unique about that is that's probably one of the only ski lifts in the world that people are usually going to take barefoot.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, those were some excellent ideas on different modes of transportation. It's kind of cool to hear you kind of think outside of the box. Before we go, let's go around the table and find out where we can be found on various internet sites. Stephen, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can get me on Twitter at SJMDisney or on Facebook at Stephen James Maxwell.
Jeff, where are you?
Oh, on Twitter, I'm BrainDud92, and on Instagram, I'm just BrainDo.
Greg, where are you?
And of course, you can find me on Twitter at GNevis and on Facebook at Greg Nevis.
And you can find me on Twitter at Figments Reality and find the Mickey Dudes at the Mickey Dudes on Twitter, along with our webpage, www.themickeydudes.com, for some original blog content by all of our commentators. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what mode of transportation you use, always remember, buckle up, it's the law. Have a magical day.
You've just listened to another exciting episode of the Mickey Dudes Podcast. You can find the Mickey Dudes on Facebook at the Mickey Dudes Podcast and on Twitter at the Mickey Dudes. If you enjoyed our podcast, please share the love on Stitcher or iTunes. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you again real soon.